Really appreciate everybody being here tonight. And once again, we're going to teach Proverbs and going to look at self-control. And a class that we're going to look at tonight is called Life and Death of the Tongue. Okay? And so then next week, we're going to look at a lesson about discipline of the temple. So talk about different aspects of the mind, body, and spirit. But before we begin, let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you so much for you allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you so much for your love, your compassion, your mercy. Thank you so much for heaven that I pray that each and every one of us one day will get a chance to see. Amen. Able to see you face to face. I pray so much for the class tonight that it'll help us to draw closer to you, help us understand better who you want us to be. I pray so much, God, that the words that will be spoken tonight, it just will be from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide everything to being what we need to be for you, God, and be all that we need to be for you. Thank you so much once again for all your kindnesses that you show to us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we begin looking in Proverbs, let's take a look at James chapter 3. And in verse 1. And we use the scripture to set things up. And in James 3 and verse 1, it says, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn a whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water." Talks about in the scripture that the tongue is very small, and it's very little, but very powerful. It says, with our tongue, we can praise our Lord and Father. Then with that same tongue, curse men. And it said that this should not be. That if we are going to be disciples and represent Jesus, we must have control of our tongue. Amen. See, when I started studying this subject matter, or when I start studying subject matters, I like to look at the very convicting scriptures first to get the heart and the conviction I need to have. Then to kind of end it, to really look at the things of how I need to be to set it up so that I could go forward with it. And that's the way we'll look at this study tonight. We'll look at some very tough things first. Then we'll look at how we need to be and how our tongue needs to be. First point is that the tongue can be malicious. James 3:11 says the tongue is a fire, is a world of evil, corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, is itself set on fire by hell, is a restless evil, is full of deadly poison. Very tough thing to say about the tongue. But I think about it, the tongue is just this red thing in your mouth. How in the world it has all of that going on? Where does all that come from? It's a restless evil, a deadly poison. It's all these awful things about the tongue. Where does it come from? What does all of that stem from? Look in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew 12 and in verse 33, it says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus says that a tree is recognized by its fruit. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And good comes from inside, and bad comes from inside. It comes from the heart. That's, as I think about things, I could get a good gauge of my heart, what my tongue is doing. My tongue is critical heart. Yeah. If my tongue is negative heart. If my tongue is evil heart. That's what's happening. Think about it. How do you talk to your kids? Be a good gauge of exactly where your heart is. How do you talk to your spouse? Be a good gauge again. What about your parents? I know some of us have great relationships with our parents where we speak to them and honor them. Others, it's almost like this peer relationship where you can say anything to them, they can say anything to you, and it's just all that going on. How is that relationship? What about your friends? Sometimes we can just say anything to our friends, especially in the name of keeping it real. And you know you're wrong. When you say something, I'm just being real. Well, are you being really wrong? Are you being really sinful about what you say? And I always think about that, because, you know, that's when the pride kicks in. You start saying, you know, look, you don't look right now. You look bad. You look ugly. I'm just trying to keep it real. No, that's just, it's unkind. That's not the right thing to do. Not the right thing to say. Brothers and sisters, the sibling relationships can show a lot about that, because sometimes siblings can do that. They can say, excuse me, but is that your last nerve? And just hit that last nerve. Sometimes our kids can do that. Know how to just keep on hitting that last nerve and keep on hitting it. What do you do? How do you handle it? What do you say? What flows out? That's what's in the heart. And it gives itself a good gauge right there. What's very convicting, could be very encouraging, is very scary. In verse 37, where in 36, it says, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That we stand before God, we have to give account of the things that we say, of the things that flow out of our hearts. And it's so convicting, and maybe because it's a heightened awareness, but I've been so convicted of my tongue since starting to do this lesson, starting the first class, thinking, man, I thought I was okay. Man, I messed up. And then I think, man, I just got to, my words. You know what? It's my heart. My heart. And I have to go back to this lesson and remember that, because it's so easy to go and pin it on something else. I'm frustrated. I'm impatient. You pushing my buttons. You making me sick. You doing this. You doing that. What's going on? But it really has to do with our heart. Because all someone can do, and even Satan, all he could do is tempt you. It's what you do with that temptation This says a lot about where your heart is. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 18. In Proverbs 12 and in verse 18, it says, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words can pierce. And we all know when we do it, it's very, very obvious. But it all comes back to the heart. See, in James 1:19, it talks about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So many times, it could be slow to listen, quick to be angry, quick to speak. Be the total opposite of the heart that we need to have. And for me, and part of it is really have to stop and think. And think about what I'm saying. And really think about, am I encouraging more? Or am I more critical? Because it's very easy, and part of it is just that, well, that's just my analysis of things. That's just what I see. That's just what I observe. But if you look at, what about the positive? What about the things that are encouraging? What about things that are right? What about the things that are good? To also express those things too. And for me, for my heart, and that's where it gets convicting, is that words are encouraging to me, but really I pay a whole lot more attention to action. That's what I care about more. You want to show that you love me? I see it by your actions. I see it by what you do for me or what you don't do. That's what I see. And so words have a little less meaning to me than that. So then I want to treat others this very same way. Not realizing that, like it says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It shows me where my heart is. Because I could go and do things. You go tell me right now, hey, can you go to the store? Can you go get me something? Man, just struggling. I'm not telling you anything. I'm not saying a word. I'm going to do what you asked me to do, but I'm just struggling in my heart. Ugh. Just bothering me. Ugh. I'm frustrated. Who knows it better is my wife. She said, other people can't see it. I see it, and I see what's going on. I said, you know what? You're right. I am struggling. I'm struggling. I'm bothered. I'm angry. This is what I feel. And this is what I got to go and deal with. But then there's times that it does flow out. It does flow out, and I think, I got to get a grip on this. Got to get a handle on this. And it's really about going back to the scriptures, about convicting my heart and about changing my heart. Amen. That will allow the tongue to be able to be encouraging, to be all that God has created for it to be. Point number two, look at about lying and deceit. And we continue in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 19. Look at a few Proverbs right here. It says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. In Proverbs 17, and in verse 20, it says, a man of perverse heart does not prosper. He whose tongue is deceitful falls into trouble. Proverbs 21. In verse 6, it says, a fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. Finally, in Proverbs 26, verse 28, it says, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Scripture says that a lying tongue lasts only a moment. A deceitful tongue falls into trouble. Fortune made by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a deadly snare. A lying tongue hates those it hurts. See, I never associated lying to someone with hate. But that's what it is. Lying and deceit, it destroys trust, it destroys love, it destroys relationships. One of the most important things is for someone to be able to believe what you're saying. And for someone to be able to trust what you're saying. In my nature, it's very easy from very young just to be deceitful and to lie. Just easy. Why? Because it makes my life easier. That's why. Easy to go and just tell a lie. Go ahead and lie about it. And then I could go ahead and get away with it. Say, whew, I got away with that. But then I got to keep up with that lie. So when you come back and ask me that question, I got to remember exactly what did I say? Now, how did I say it? All right, got to remember exactly what it is. All right, so then you come back and ask me later again. Okay, what was that lie I said? All right, got to remember that lie. But then all of a sudden I'm lying about something else. Now I got two lies to keep up with. Then three or four. What was worse is that I would have one set of people believe one thing about me, but then another set believe another thing about me. So then I got to keep up with the lie I told them, keep up with the lie I told them. And I thought, this is a lot of work. This is a lot of work trying to keep up with all these lies. And my heart is just getting more and more corrupt and getting worse and worse off. And that's what's happening. And I'm feeling worse and worse about myself. And I know that it hurts God, but then after a while, Satan convinces you, don't worry about it. Whatever. Don't worry about it. No big deal. And besides, it's just a white lie. You know, you're not killing anybody. You're definitely not worse than that person over there, because that person really a liar. But you, you lie every once in a while. Satan's deception. Satan got you there. And the relationships, I just feel myself distancing myself from people further and further and further away. To where all of a sudden I start cutting off feelings from them, where I don't really have any feelings for them. What a scary place to be. So you see how it ends up hating the person it hurts. By lying, by being deceitful. It was a lesson that Ross McKenzie, and this was a few years ago, actually a number of years ago, he talked in a class about parenting. And he said, one of the worst things your child can do is lie to you. Discipline your child, but the worst discipline you should give them will be for them lying. See, because if you can't trust what they're telling you, then the whole relationship is broken down at that point. And how true is that? That I've been on both sides with my kids, and if I could really believe and trust what they're saying, then they could talk to me about anything. Let's talk about it. Let's sit down. How you feel? And we'll work through it. Maybe get disciplined, maybe not. But the lying, especially to have that feeling of, I really want to trust you, but I can't. Because I don't know if you're telling me the truth or not. You could be lying right in front of my face. And I can't believe you. One of the worst feelings that I feel is when someone doesn't believe me. And doesn't believe what I'm saying. Then I have to go and examine, have I given them a reason not to? Have I given them a reason to not trust what I'm saying? Then that's something I need to deal with in my heart and make sure I'm being truthful and being honest. Being real. And that's a part of being real is the honesty. Amen. Even if it looks, makes you look bad. But you know what? It's like, you know what? I thank God for that because then it'll set you free. And the truth will be able to set you free, like it talks about in John 8. That's why I say that it's much easier just to go and to tell the truth. Satan wants to tell you differently, but it just entraps you. And it traps me, and it traps all of us. And it goes back to what Jesus was talking about in the beginning. You can't have both coming out the same mouth. You can't have discipleship and being a disciple, and at the same time have lying and deceit. Can't have both happening. And that's something that we have to really guard, because I know before becoming a disciple, I know that many of us, probably all of us, struggle with that and battle with that. And that was one of the sins that we had to repent of. But it's so easy for that to come back in our lives and to become a part. And that's a part I have to fight and change to really be different. But in John chapter 8, in verse 44. And here's a convicting thing. This is Jesus. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies." It says when Satan speaks, he speaks his native language. His native language, lying. How does he lie? Most of the time you see when he was tempting Jesus, he mixed a lie with the truth and mix it up together and let you sort out what's the truth. If you just go with what he says, you go with that lie, because there's an element of truth in it. That's Satan. So, we're disciples of Jesus. What's going to be our native tongue? What's going to be our native language? Is our native language going to be Jesus' language, which is the truth, or the native language of Satan, which are lies? Which one's it going to be? As disciples, let us cling to the truth. Let's cling to the honesty. Let us cling to the native language of Jesus. Let's be truthful. Amen. Now let's look at some positive things. Point number three is that silence is golden. Remember the movies where all of a sudden you hear at the beginning of the movie, you hear the baby crying, hear the noise, hear the cell phone going off and all those different things, and it gets quiet. It says silence is golden. Well, you know what? In our lives, too, silence can be golden. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10 and in verse 19, it says, "When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." There is a lot of wisdom in holding our tongue. In other words, sometimes it's better just to be quiet. That's why it says when words are many, sin is not absent. And so I thought about that. So what sins come out when there's many words? How does just by talking a whole lot, what has to do with sin? Selfishness, you want to dominate the conversation. You want people to listen to you versus listening to someone else. Pride. What I have to say is better than what you have to tell me. What I have to say is the most important thing right now. So therefore, everyone needs to listen to me. The arrogance. I'm better than you. Or I'm smarter than you. Or I'm right on this. And if you don't agree with me, then you have to be wrong. The arrogance. Lying and deceitfulness also come into it. Because then all of a sudden you want to start telling that huge, tall tale. Yep. Where at first the story is the honesty, the honest story, and then after a while you want to make it a lot better than what it is. Everybody could go, ooh, ah, wow, that's really cool. That's what happens. Sometimes it's better to be quiet. Amen. Instead, he who holds his tongue is wise. Let's look in Proverbs 11 and in verse 12. It says, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. Then in Proverbs 17, in verse 28, it says, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. And then in Proverbs 21, and in verse 23, it says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. There is a lot of wisdom in holding your tongue. Amen. I love when people sit quiet and then they say just a few words, but the words are so powerful. And you know it because the person's sitting there quietly and you just looking, they just have that eye and they're just listening and listening and listening. And find somebody says, you want to speak? You want to say something? And everybody leans forward. And they say just a few words. You think, wow, that's it. That's all I need to be said. My family goes on a conference call. And we have a prayer conference call once a month. Well, all of us from all over the country, from California all the way to over on this side, all call this number, and we all get a chance to pray. And sometimes they may have a minister. Sometimes they go a little too long. But the minister is there, will go and will talk before getting a chance and opportunity to pray. But before that, because of my grandfather passing away a long time ago, my grandmother is the matriarch of the family. So they asked, say, Grammy, we call her Grammy, do you have something that you want to say? And you know what? It's always a few words. But it's powerful words. Like one time she got on, she said, you know what? We just need to love. God calls for us to love. Jesus wants us to love. We need to love each other. We need to take care of each other. We need to love each other. That was it. And I thought, I'm done with the call. That's all I need. That's all I need right there. I'm done. I'm convicted. I'm moved. I'm everything. She said all I need to be said right there. That was it. It wasn't long. It took about 30 seconds for her to say it. She's 90 years old. And 90 years old means she could go on for a long time and talk about a lot of things, and all of us would just be quiet and would listen to her. But you know what? My grandmother's always been that way. Just very few words. But she's going to make those words mean something. Amen. When she says it. Don't have to go on a long speech with you, just a very short one. And move your heart. It's like, I mean, just have you weak. Like, wow, that's powerful. Let me go and look up some scriptures to go along with that, and I have a quiet time here. Just off of that. Very few words. Very powerful. Sometimes we feel that way, though, that we have to go on for a very long time in order to get our point across. Got to have to convince somebody. But at some point at the gauge, okay, have I now crossed over? Am I now talking too much? Have I now reached the point now that it's about me and it's not about benefiting the other person? Is it about stroking my ego versus about being an encouragement to others? Where does that line cross? You know it, and I know it. I'm thinking, man, I'm talking too much. Down to myself, you know what? Shut up. I don't have to tell anybody else that, but myself, shut up. Be quiet. Hush. That's enough. And sometimes that is enough to really move and motivate people's hearts. And that's part of a lesson that we can take on. Some of us need to talk some more so we can be able to get our hearts and be able to share exactly what our hearts are, but that works for very few of us. Most of us just got to be quiet sometimes. And to be able to listen and to be able to learn, be able to grow, engage somebody else and learn from them. Even with our kids, there's things that I learn so much and grow so much and probably even benefit Tyler when I just sit and listen to him. And I get a good gauge of exactly where his heart is at and what he's thinking. And then I could talk and address that instead of, I'm dad, be quiet and listen to me. Sometimes it's just good for me to listen. And I better learn a whole lot more, not only about him, but also listen to him thinking, whoa, that sounds just like me. Oh, I'm convicted. Oh, that sounds just like me. Sometimes like, yeah, that's my boy. Sounds like his daddy. Another time like, oh, boy. I pray for him to take on the good things, not the bad things. Oh, Lord, what have I done? I need to change, but to really work on those things. The other part of it we're going to talk about is speaking the truth in love. Point number four. And it's in Proverbs chapter 15. And in verse 4, it says, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And Proverbs 12, and in verse 25, it says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Your tongue can be used to bring healing. You know, as I go and I listen to the world, even looking at television sometimes, I don't look at the news, but only so long, because I'm going to get a bunch of bad stories happening. Remember my family moving here from Hurricane Katrina, moving here to Atlanta, and getting together and talking to them and said, boy, Atlanta's a horrible place. People get murdered. There's fires. There's rapes. There's this. And there's that. And they were starting to get this paranoia about them. I don't know if I want to go outside of my house. It's so dangerous. And I'm thinking, you're living in Alpharetta. Okay, so, all right. All right, so where you get all this from? The news. The news just talk about that trial and the person broke out of jail. And they told me, leave that news alone. Stop watching it. You are paranoid right now. But if you listen to the news and look all around you, there's just negativity. Negative stuff happening all around us. Go to work and I talk to people. A lot of times the glass is half empty versus half full. And sometimes I want to get caught up with them and I think, you know what? I need to be grateful I have a job. Amen. I need to thank God I have a job. So therefore, stop griping and complaining and shut up. Be quiet. But there's so much of that going around. How much of it could be that we as disciples can bring healing? Think about our lives. Our sins are forgiven. Amen. We could cast our anxiety on Jesus. Amen. We don't have to worry. We can be at peace. We have been taken out of darkness into his wonderful life. We get to see Jesus face to face one day. We get to go and cry with the angels and say, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We get to do that one day. What great news we have to share. How positive we should walk around. How we should have a smile on our face all day. How we could be joyous. Yes, there's tough things going on in our lives, but we can overcome it. Through Jesus, we can overcome it. Even if the problem is not taken away and removed immediately or removed at all, still, we could be at peace. Do others have that are not disciples? No. Do we have that as disciples? Yes. We should be the ones bringing good news, amen, bringing the encouragement, being the light shining in the dark place. That's what our tongues should be used for. So many times we could walk around and really down and depressed and discouraged, and I'm guilty of it. It's like everybody else. Down and depressed and discouraged and just, and life is not this, life is that. Do you hear how scary Atlanta is? I'm scared to leave my house. Feeling that way, when I need to remember all the things that have been given to me, that have been promised to me. And the great thing about God is that God does not break his promises. Amen. So what's promised in the scriptures, that's what's going to happen. Yep. That's the way that it is. Yep. Amen. Bring that good news. Bring that encouragement. Share goodness, good news. Encourage others. One of the best things we could do with our tongue is pray for people. Pray for them. Pray for their hearts. Pray for their lives. Pray for the tough situations that they're going through. Pray for them to be able to see the glory of God in their lives. Pray for it to bring them close to Jesus. Also, one of the great things we could do is share the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ and a resurrection. To share that. That's what the first century disciples did. That's the good news that they shared, and they walked around and shared that. That was their good news to a dark place, that they brought light. That's what we need to do. Look in Proverbs chapter 25. And in verse 15, it says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Thought, how ironic is that? That it says a gentle tongue can break a bone. And I had to think about that for a little bit. I had to let that marinate for a little bit. Trying to think, a gentle tongue break a bone. Gentle tongue break a bone. Gentle, what in the world does that mean? I don't have the total answer, but one of the things I think about is that a gentle word can move even me, be moved to be healed of many things. How many times have I been down and discouraged that someone came along and just gave me just a gentle word? It's going to be all right. Just trust in God. Don't worry about it. Just cast it on Jesus. Can I pray with you? Can I take this time out? Can I pray with you? What can I do to be able to encourage you with this? To be able to encourage you as you go through this? I have been praying for you. And I've been praying for your situation that God will work through it. All kind of different things that have been said to me in the past, and how it's been, like I said, like a bone being broken. That it just brought healing, that it just had the strength. And I think about just a gentle tongue having the strength. We don't recognize and understand the power of our words. And sometimes we could give more power to negative things that are being said than we can to very encouraging things being said. And I'm guilty of it too. I'll focus on the negative things that are said and just think, man, that just, you know, I got to make sure I don't use the tongue for that. And that's very true. But don't underestimate the power of a gentle tongue. Amen. Don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate the things that you're saying and the things that come from out of your heart and the things that you say that are very encouraging, very inspiring. What can be done and how it can move people. Think about the power of the scriptures. That's God talking to us. And the words that God says to us that moves our hearts. Go back and better use those things on others and encourage others. Because like I said, that people are getting bad news all over the place. People are hearing negative news all over the place. There's criticalness all over the place. It is such an encouragement to be the one to bring good news. To bring unity, to bring togetherness, to be the one to say, you know what? I think it's going to be all right, to be faithful. But I say it comes from out of our hearts that we have to have faith, that we could then go and give someone else that faith. And tell them, I believe that everything's going to be all right, and truly believe that it comes from the heart. And remember that a gentle word can heal tremendously. So like I said, that sometimes it is good to not talk long and to be quiet. Other times it is to say something and it to be a gentle, loving word. And like I said before, it doesn't have to be a long speech. It could be a very short one. But a very short one that could be lasting and impactful, and it can move someone closer to God and could just relieve someone of their hurt and pain, strife, whatever they're going through. So going to end with this scripture. Look at Proverbs 18. And in verse 21, and sum it up about the tongue, is that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I encourage each and every one of us not to use our tongue for death, but use it for its power of life. Amen. To use it that way. But first you have to remember, it doesn't begin with the tongue, that to remember that it begins with our heart. And really pray for God to encourage to have our hearts that each and every day, that our hearts will be focused on the things that are positive, the things that are encouraging, the things like it talks about in Philippians 4, was ever lovely, admirable, praiseworthy. Think about such things. That our hearts will focus on those things, that will be the thing that will pour out of us, of those very same things, and that our tongue will be used for power of life, and that our tongue will be used to be able to acquit us one day. Amen. And just to be able to say that you are set free because of your tongue. You are set free because of the blood of Jesus and just your response to the blood of Jesus in each and every way. I pray that tonight the lesson will really encourage us, that it will inspire us, it will challenge us to think about the things that we say and how we say it, that we could change and be disciples that will bring light into a dark place. Amen?